Hey, my eyes might have been deceiving me in a little bit of late night last night. So 1890 is doing a memorabilia auction.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Saw Fred's tweet.
Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah.
Gold, Fred. Gold.
Do they really have a signed Mike Riley helmet?
That we need for the studio.
I mean, maybe they were cleaning out the closet of some of the things they had. They're like, hey, we still have this. Maybe we can fetch something for it because people seem to like him as a person.
Let's get it and take it to our remotes next football season. See if anyone wants it.
I don't know how much publicizing I would do about it, but maybe it could be an add-on. Like, hey, we've got this Eric Crouch signed football, and hey, for the highest bidder, we're going to throw in a little bonus, Mike Riley autograph football helmet.
Riley? Pat? No, Mike. Oh.
Yeah. It seemed legit. But as I mentioned yesterday, Matar Jope is still also on the 1890 billboard in the Midtown area of Omaha, right around the 60th in I-80 area.
Let me look at here. So I got a helmet way back, like a game used helmet back in the 90s. And one of my traditions has been, I've had every head coach, beginning with Coach Osborne, all the way through. And then just most recently, I got Coach Rule to sign it. I've gotten all the coaches. Mm-hmm. He's one of the rare coaches at Nebraska that has signed an autograph, and he is a GBR guy.
Oh, puts GBR.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I think he's the only person on that helmet
that nice
signed GBR.
Did you get Mike Riley's?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Riley was like one of, like, he, that was in his first year. When I wasn't living here, I know people in the equipment office, the great Jay Terry. And I sent it. I said, hey, can you have Coach Callahan sign this? And I didn't get it back for like a year, a little over a year. And we got into 07.
That's not surprising.
And I'm like, okay. Like, what happens if he doesn't last and the helmet just disappears? I go, that's got T.O.'s signature on it. It's got Solich's signature on it.
You're actually making me anxious now for you.
It's Callahan's last draw. He just sees that helmet sitting there on it, having a bad day.
Back.
He's like, destroys it.
So I came back for a game and I was told to stop by, and so I got
it. Good.
So here I am flying back to Florida with this helmet. Like I am, I'm a memorabilia collector.
Did you put it in the overhead?
No, it
would have been on
sat in your lap.
It sat on my lap.
Oh, okay.
Things were not as restrictive back there in 07.
You could have put that under the seat in front of you, though.
No,
put it in a kennel.
But then just have your feet around it, securing it.
The one thing, though, that like it, you know, it's like if you see a Nebraska football helmet up close, it back in the 90s, it was with the real skinny end that looks so beautiful.
Yeah. It's that skinny end again.
But it was the cream. Like their helmet was more cream than
like
it was
true white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't pearl white.
So
you're right.
So that it looks now kind of like it's starting to fade a little bit. Like the TO signature
yellow.
Is getting a little faded. Well, the Rule signature stands out. And like, hey, man, that guy just kind of.
Can you spray something?
I think Riley was the only one that is a GBR guy.
Okay. Did Matt Rule say RDV?
He did not.
OOU?
DMV?
No. Just signed it.
Okay.
Here, point at yourself.
He was very, very kind in doing that.
It'd be great if someone put their number of what number coach in Nebraska they are.
Listener Matt.
Oh, like a president?
Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool?
What if they put their
you
record?
I think they know. Scott Frost, Bill Jennings might want to hide that one.
A lot of discussion about Paul Skeens. So Skeens pitched yesterday here in Omaha. When I got to the ballpark, first of all, it was Bus Haven because it was Kids Day, Education Day. They had a sellout, which was really, really cool. The weather was nice.
A lot of kids wearing Skeens jerseys.
Kind of no, but there was
a lot of kids keeping
there
score.
Was a Roberto Clemente jersey that I did spot right next to a Lorenzo Cain. So they kind of...
but different generation.
So Skeens goes to warm up, and there were 30 people. Not just like kids that were like, whoa, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
30 people that were watching him in his bullpen warm up. Usually it's a kid asking for a ball or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, he strolls in from the outfield. And it almost looks like he has security because there's like five players that are, you know, walking back to the dugout with him. He's the real deal, man. First, cool dude. He is super chill. He's the same guy he was here last year in the College World Series. And I think that helps a lot.
See what Livy sees in him.
Is, you know, people remember him from the College World Series. Mm-hmm. They're like, man, I watched that guy with LSU, and he's so big. He's 6'6", and he throws of 100 miles an hour. So it's kind of like you do something unique. Caitlin Clark hits logo three. Steph shoots the way he does. They're unique. We follow him. We get excited. Skeens is a large man that throws really, really hard. So you're attracted to him. He draws a lot of attention. It was pretty cool to see the reaction as he was warming up, and then the reaction to he would throw a pitch, and everybody go to the scoreboard to see what the radar gun said.
Yep. Yep. There are – that's one of the things that I've always noticed when you go to a minor league game. You can tell, and Gary, you know this as well as anyone too, there's that sound when you just know this is worth looking up at the radar gun. And we saw that a lot last year in the College World Series, just watching him hum. But that – you're right. It's his stature. When you are physically imposing like that, you can think of, you know, going back to an old storm chaser / Royal, who's no longer with us, Yordano Ventura. There was a complete opposite, a guy who had a whip for an arm that could run it up there. But you would look at him and you think, wait, this dude can do that? He's not physically imposing. There's just something about the large human being that throws really hard that you can't take your eyes off of.
So his first day. Yesterday was the first day that he pitched into the fifth inning, and he is 98, 99. I think he topped 100 maybe once or twice.
But he's
throwing a 94, 95 mile an hour split-fingered fastball. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
With movement.
And then he would drop you an 84, 85 slider. And there were a couple of guys in the Storm Chaser lineup yesterday that have played in the majors. So
they're like, they're
being overpowered. But he was absolutely filthy. He finally gave up a run for the first time in his AAA career. But as I watched him throw, I'm like, this is what is wrong with Major League Baseball. He should not be in AAA. He should be in the majors. They're manipulating his service time. I think in May, he will get called up.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that he doesn't become another young pitcher with an arm injury. Because what he is doing will draw some casual eyeballs into watching more Pirate games. But you're right about the sound, man. Even when he was doing about 45 feet away with the catcher in the outfield before he went and got on the bullpen mound, you could hear in the press box the mitt popping.
Yep.
I'm like, wow, that's a sound of money.
It is. And this is my hope for Paul Skeens. You bring up the preserving the arm. That I think you've got a lot of medical staffs that are part of, especially Major League Baseball, but also the doctors that are assigned to each organization and each Major League team. When you have, first of all, the investment that you're obviously putting into a guy like Paul Skeens or anybody that you feel is going to be one of your top prospects, it's eventually going to be the face of your franchise. I think there has been a lot of studies going into the UCL, and a lot of that leads back to the usage during the offseason, the wear and tear during the offseason. I can't tell you what Paul Skeens experienced from volume between the national championship and then going into spring training.
Yeah, he hasn't pitched much.
And I hope that is a benefit, because guys are creature of habit. When they don't have a ball, when they don't have a baseball in their hand and there's no scoreboard or they're not asked to do it, it's hard for them to just sit out and not do that. I like to think, though, in the last couple of years, from what we've learned with that injury and the overuse, that these guys understand the longevity of their career is more important than staying active and continuing that routine when they can change it up a little bit, continue to strengthen their arm, but not put the stress, especially on the elbow. Look, you could go down with a labrum, you could go down with a rotator cuff. Those things are going to happen. But the UCL, that's the one that we've seen sidetrack so many careers early on. I'd like to think that you've had enough examples where you can point back to overuse that I'm just hoping Paul Skeens can avoid that type of fate, because it just seems like every stud pitcher that we've seen in the last decade at some point has succumbed to that, and a lot of those guys have experienced that a lot earlier in their career. That's my hope, is that we've learned enough. Paul Skeens has been able to do enough that his elbow, his arm is as physically ready for this as it possibly can be.
Yeah, they have a good roster. Nick Gonzalez, who was a first-round pick, is playing shortstop from Clemson. Josh, who was a big Pirate fan, called in yesterday. The future is bright, and his debut will be, I think, pretty electric. when he's up there. A couple of tweets on people that saw Skeens yesterday. Don didn't make the Creighton game last night, but Skeens yesterday was stupid. Without a U, it's all double O.
Oh, I was going to say, intelligence shouldn't have anything to do with this.
I am completely convinced robo-umps need to go. He got robbed on his slider multiple times. Keep the human element behind the plate. So in the minors, Tuesday through Thursday is ABS. Thursday through, or Friday through Sunday is challenge. Mm. So the home plate umpire, he just had the thing in his ear telling him if it was a ball or a strike.
Right.
They're pretty good. Tuesday through Thursday, I think they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get into the human element, and it's, but here's the thing, like with this system, and you know, we talk about robo-umps in the majors. There are some pitches that the ABS system will not give you that are called a strike in the majors. They just always are.
Yeah.
So sometimes pitchers that may struggle a little bit in AAA, they'll go up to the majors, and it's a lot easier for them because they're getting that low pitch, yep, or that high pitch. Paul Skeens will be one of those guys that is umpires adjust to his repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
He will get a lot of pitches that are on the paint. Kyle writes in, what a waste of Skeens. The way things are these days, every pitch he throws is one step closer to Tommy John. He's wasting these pitches in the minors.
Again, that goes back to our point. It's a fair concern. At this day and age, it's a fair concern, especially when you have a power arm. Big body like that. My other hope is when you are that large, it doesn't put as much. I made the comparison to Yordano Ventura. I think of guys like Pedro Martinez have just whips for arms. But it's not putting as necessarily when you have that type of arm angle like those guys do and that type of motion, it doesn't create as much stress on your elbow. It's forcing you to use your whole body. But then when I think of big guys like Paul Skeens, it's also really forcing you to use your lower half, and you hope that hopefully that can be in concert with your elbow. Sometimes it's just going to happen, okay? But when it's due to wear and tear or overthrowing, overuse, that's where we've seen, I don't want to say the majority of those cases, probably at least 50% of those cases, though, because of overuse, that's what you hope is being avoided.
Speaking of which, you brought that up. Every time you talk about pitchers overuse, you immediately use Shane Comine. You're absolutely right. Some pitchers, they throw hard, but it's effortless.
Right.
Some pitchers throw hard, and their arm angle, everything about it is a challenge every single pitch. Mm-hmm. Like Skeens is pretty effortless, just popping the ball at 98 to 100. I can't remember his name. What was the Arkansas closer that...
Oh, 45. It was just recently. It was when Nebraska played him in the regional. I'm just totally blanking on his name, too.
Because I want to...
Another Van Horn guy as well.
Yeah,
I
mean, hey, Dave, I don't know if Dave admits this, but it's a thing. I mean, he likes to use his pitchers. That's why, you know, Hagen Smith is a guy that's going to be drafted pretty high. Mm-hmm. And I think Arkansas will be here in Omaha, and they're my...
Kevin Copps.
Sentimental favorite to win the national championship. But Hagen Smith is a guy that he pitches a lot, but they don't overuse him. So Copps right now, I don't think he has missed a season.
Mm-hmm.
He is in AAA right now. 9 games this year, 12 and a third innings, 2.92 ERA. He has thrown 151 innings in 4 years in the minors, but now he's in AAA. He has not had a stint on the DL, if I recall.
That's a good sign, especially with our... I mean, that's Dave Van Horn's M.O.
And he was a little bit of a smaller guy. He wasn't a Skeens guy. He was 6 foot?
Yep.
Yeah, he wasn't very big to throw that hard when he was at Arkansas.
Yeah, there are... And this is another, I think, important factor when it does come to what is perceived as overuse is the recovery methods for this, too. And that's where I think a lot of throwing programs that have been initiated... And you see it at the high school level too, but also in college baseball programs more so than anything. This is the one thing that everybody was always questioning. Remember when Nebraska had arm injury after arm injury with their pitchers when Ted Silva was the pitching coach? And a lot of people were putting Ted Silva on blast saying, okay, what is this throwing program? Because this is the commonality. I remember asking Ted Silva about how he was diagnosing the issues, and he was baffled. They had... they had vetted so much about their throwing program from doctors, from trainers, from people in Major League Baseball of the best way result-wise on preparation and recovery. And then the off-season throwing program and how you're able to find that balance of not overusing but still being able to keep that arm strong. And it sometimes it's just really, really bad luck. But I also would like to think, compared to, say, 2001 or 2002, here in 2024, there's a lot more information and there's a lot more ability to dial into a proper throwing program that if you do fall to any type of arm injury, it's not going to be because of the system that you're in, and you're going to have the proper type of recovery when you do rev it up, say, 120, 125 pitches in a start or in an appearance.
Ed writes in.
I can nerd out on this all day, by the way.
Inbox. Well, I saw it firsthand. Alex Wimmers, who was Twins' first-round draft pick, they messed with him. They didn't do surgery right away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a guy that threw pretty hard. They tried to rehab. Now you don't see rehab. Guys will go right under the knife right away. Some guys will even undergo Tommy John surgery when they don't necessarily need it.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And also, there are more success stories coming back from Tommy John surgery than there are, oh, your career is completely
over.
Yeah,
guys coming back even stronger. And that's the other part about it. If you start to experience discomfort and you know that that is now a looming issue, it's almost as if you want, okay, let's just get it out of the way now.
Yeah, Alex, by the way, just, you know, kind of ran out of gas in the minors, never made the majors. Twins made a huge investment in him, and he could just never get it back. And they said, hey, let's just go about 6 to 8 months of rehab.
Yeah.
Instead of his agent wanted him to do the surgery right away.
Mm-hmm.
Never was the same. Ed writes into the Equitable Bank inbox to finish off the hour. He said, saw Skeens yesterday. Quite impressive, even when you are sitting field level. Saw him at the College World Series. I think he's better now than he was at LSU.
And that's saying something because he was dominant there. But you would think, yeah.
They're also asking, he's also facing better hitters.
Absolutely.
So he has to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
But he was filthy yesterday. But, man, he just is a chill dude. Like, he talked to the media afterwards. He's really, really cool. I'm sure tonight he'll sign a ton of autographs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the collectors were there yesterday. None of them had their 10 Skeen Indianapolis Indian jerseys on.
Except for Livy. Livy will have it on tonight.
And she said yesterday, I guess TMZ stopped her. And she said, I've already got my outfits for her when he makes his debut in Pittsburgh.
She does. She's got her fits.
Just get her to Oscars today. She can be a six-person round
team. Will Skeens and Dunn be able to match the attention of Kelce and Swift?
I brought that up yesterday. What is going to be the bigger power couple? Because obviously it's kind of a silly question right now because Taylor Swift is global.
She sings the song.
Travis Kelce is part of...
She sings songs about you.
Yeah. That's right. But
many guys are like, yeah, she does.
You look at Livy Dunn's Instagram influencer presence and Paul Skeens, who is, already
you're on
well
the gram
known.
Now, so, yeah, you know all about this.
I still don't actively
don't
hang out
her?
On the gram, but I'm there.
Follow her.
I'm there for content if I need it. But I don't think they'll ever get to that level. Maybe when Taylor decides to take a break for a while
and have a kid and get married.
And then, yeah. Hopefully it's with Travis. You don't want to ruin his game. And then when Travis steps away, maybe that's where Skeens and Dunn can pounce because they're going to be active. They're going to be more still in the camera and active of what they're doing when those two maybe take it a little bit slow. That's the only shot that Skeens Dunn have.
All right, coming up at the bottom of the next hour, it's Happy Caleb Williams Day in Chicago.
Thank you.
Carmen DeFalco will join us on the vibe in Chicago, what they will do with number one. I think that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 draft picks tonight will be absolute craziness. People trying to move into those spots.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the first three will be quarterbacks. I'm not saying anything that you haven't heard. And Marvis Harrison goes fourth to Arizona, and I think is the best player in the draft. We'll do all of that and much more on Happy Draft Day for everyone. Don't forget, we're at Oscars today, 10 to 6 with The Zone, and we'll have a roundtable to talk about that spring game. Coming up in Lincoln on Saturday. We'll all be out there at noon with all of you. Update with Jimmy's coming up next on 1620 The Zone.